It's Talk of the Nation. I'm Melinda Penkava, in for Juan Williams. We're talking about Senator Jim Jeffords' decision to quit the Republican Party and go independent, an announcement he made just about 5 hours ago. Our guests are Ron Elving, NPR's Washington editor, and Wendy Schiller, associate professor of political science and public policy at Brown University. And we invite you to join us. The number's 1-800-989-8255, 1-800-989-TALK. But first, let's hear a little bit from Senator Jeffords' speech in Burlington, Vermont earlier today.
I became a Republican not because I was born into the party, but because of the kind of fundamental principles that these and many Republicans stood for: moderation, tolerance, fiscal responsibility. Their party, our party, was the party of Lincoln.
And here's the leader of the Senate Democrats, Tom Daschle of South Dakota.
My expectation is that the first important issue to be taken up will be education. We'll complete that bill. The second bill will be the Patients' Bill of Rights.
And he went on to say,
campaign finance reform has always been a top priority, and it would be my hope, and again my expectation, that we could finish campaign finance reform this year.
That's Tom Daschle, South Dakota senator, who will become the Senate Majority Leader when, in a few days, because of Jim Jeffords' decision to leave the GOP, thus doing away with a 50-50 split in the Senate. With us is Ron Elving and Wendy Schiller. And also with us now is Willard Randall, who is a presidential scholar and visiting professor of humanities at Champlain College in Burlington, Vermont, which was the hot spot. The eyes of the nation were on your city today, weren't they?
And the traffic jam of the trailers and the press cars, yes.
Well, they'll be gone soon. They'll be gone soon. You've been observing the political scene in Vermont, and much has been said about Jim Jeffords not only being a moderate Republican, but also having this independent streak that Vermonters are said to have. Is that indeed the case?
Well, he looks independent in Congress, but up here he's pretty much the norm. This is how Vermonters think of themselves and expect their politicians to be. There hasn't been a rock-ribbed Republican senator in the state in at least 60 years. They look more like Democrats. They used to say about George Aiken, who was the very well-known maverick Republican for years from Vermont, that one day out of the month he was a Republican. Since World War II especially, the issues have driven the Republican senators farther and farther to the left, until now, for the first time in the history of the Republican Party, there is no Republican in Washington from the state.
Mm-hmm. How are Vermonters reacting to the senator's decision?
Well, mostly they're very enthusiastic, which is not their normal way. They're sticking their heads in his office and saying, "Nice going, Jim. Good job." I mean, it's very personal. They're proud of him. His email to his office is saying, "We're with you, whatever party you're in." Mm-hmm. So it's been a very popular decision. They kept interrupting the press conference with their cheering and chanting of "Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Jim."
Mm-hmm. But of course, there must be some Republicans who are not happy with this switch.
Well, those Republicans that there are left in Vermont are calling him Benedict Arnold. Of course, in Vermont, that's a compliment. But they're disgruntled. They have no voice in Washington now. They have no governor. They don't have a majority in the Senate. They only have the House of Representatives. And yesterday, they couldn't even win repeal of civil unions, which is why they came back to power in the legislature. So they're in very rough shape.
And civil unions, we should explain, is the gay marriage clause that you have, that you're allowing in Vermont.
That's right. And the Republicans made a comeback in the legislature in the last election to defeat civil unions, to have it repealed. So on the same day they lose Jeffords, they lose that fight, too.
Mm-hmm. If Jim Jeffords were to stand for election in 2002, which he doesn't have to because he was only reelected this past fall, you're saying that he'd be a shoo-in?
I think he would be a shoo-in, but the only question is a shoo-in to what? Re-election to the Senate or to become governor of Vermont 2 years after that? The governor, Howard Dean, has already made it pretty clear that he doesn't wish a fifth term. So Jim Jeffords just became the viable all-around candidate for anything you want in Vermont.
Mm-hmm. Well, Willard Randall, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Willard Randall is presidential scholar and visiting professor of humanities at Champlain College in Burlington, Vermont. 1-800-989-8255, 1-800-989-TALK is the number. Let's go to Kimberton, Pennsylvania, and Bunny. Hey there, Bunny.
Hi, thank you for the show. I'm in mourning. Jim Jeffords just ensured fame, if nothing else. and I'm, you know, obviously I'm a Republican. From a party viewpoint, there's two things. There's a common sense moral code that I try to abide by with my family, and one is be worthy of trust, and the other is fulfill your obligations. This was written by L. Ron Hubbard, a famous philosopher. Those two items from strictly a party viewpoint have been majorly violated. I understand that Vermont is different and sets itself apart. However, the support that had to have obviously been given to him over the years by the Republican Party has been just totally disregarded, I feel, and I feel very betrayed. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Benny. Ron Elving?
Well, one thing you have to say about Jeffries is that if he's leaving the Republican Party, he's really only leaving it in name, because he has been voting with the Democrats for quite some time. Throughout the two terms of Bill Clinton, he voted with the Clinton position when there was a stated Clinton position on a Senate issue more than half the time. Only a handful of Republicans did that. He was the first Republican to come out against impeachment when Clinton was being put in the dock in the House in 1998. Also, as far back as 1981, when Jim Jeffries was a House member, when he was over on the other side of the building, he was the one Republican in the entire House of Representatives who voted against Ronald Reagan's tax cut in 1981. That's quite a distinction. This is not someone who has been providing much succor to the Republican Party, except by putting the R after his name and making that contribution to allowing it to be a 50-50 Senate and allowing Dick Cheney to break the ties in favor of the Republicans. I mean, people are going to ask themselves, who are more casual observers of American politics, how can one man turn the Senate in one morning just by making this announcement? Well, the reason is it's been deadlocked 50-50, an extraordinary, unprecedented, we've never had a 50-50 Senate, and it's been going along as a Republican Senate strictly because the Vice President, Dick Cheney, can come down and break ties under the Constitution, and so he's there to put them in charge. As soon as they lose one vote, just becoming an independent, they no longer have that.
Mm-hmm. Wendy Schiller?
I think the Republicans have had a great luxury in terms of defining themselves vis-a-vis against Bill Clinton for so long. I mean, they could afford to be quite unified, but the cost of being so unified is that they really have pushed out the diversity that used to be the hallmark of the Republican Party. I mean, the Northeast liberal Republicans and the Southern Republicans and the Western Republicans used to get along. I mean, the days of Barry Goldwater being on one side and Nelson Rockefeller on the other a long time ago. But with the 90s, you saw that the Republicans really closed ranks and that they became quite unified around a very narrow platform. And I think they're paying a bit of the price for that now, whereas the Democrats, just in electing Bill Clinton as their party nominee and then getting him to the White House, had to compromise. They had to let conservative Democrats and liberal Democrats coexist together in order to govern. And I think that's what President Bush is going to have to do. He's going to have to, as one caller pointed out, really respond to the fact that most Americans are middle of the road, that they are not so narrow, that they are not so doctrinaire. And he's going to have to respond by opening up the Republican Party so that he doesn't continue to lose people who do basically toe the Republican line on fiscal policy, but maybe more liberal on social and cultural issues.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do want to return to that point, but there was something that Bunny raised, and that was this sense of mourning because somebody had switched from the party to another.
Right.
And of course, it is not the first time this has happened, and in recent decades, whenever there's been a party switch, it has generally been a Democrat becoming a Republican. And joining us right now is one of those people, Ben Nighthorse Campbell, Senator from Colorado, who about 6 years ago switched from the Democratic Party to the Republican. Welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
Well,
forget about the TV show. These guys are the true survivors. Charlie and Ernie on AM 620 WPMT.
Welcome back, 9:15 AM 620 WPMT News Time. Charlie Papillo along with Ernie Farrar. And joining us on phone line this morning, it's our good friend Will Randall from Champlain College, visiting professor of humanities, biographer, and historian, and I underline that and italicize it there. That's pretty important this morning. Good morning, Will. Thanks for coming on with us today.
My pleasure.
Now, Will, we've been covering this story for the past couple of days, and the national press, I mean, they've been on us like
like vultures, I mean, just surrounding the area. This is a huge news story. Would you agree bigger than the civil unions news story?
Well, I think nationally and worldwide, the ramifications of this are bigger than any Vermont story in the 20 years I've been watching Vermont news. It's changing the balance of power in the federal government at a very time when that's tilting foreign affairs in the opposite direction. I mean, one of the things Jeffords couldn't stomach if he stayed on as a chair was to be quiet while they talked about the missile shield, defending Formosa and Korea, et cetera, and gearing up that whole Star Wars concept of the Reagan administration, which he had opposed 20 years before.
Mm-hmm. I would just like to ask you a question. Well, there's been a lot of name-calling here with Benedict Arnold, et cetera, et cetera, you know? And
In Vermont, to be called a Benedict Arnold should be a compliment.
Okay.
Because here he was a hero. He mm-hmm. beat the British on Lake Champlain. What he did when he went south and fell into the clutches of a beautiful young woman, that's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
But in Vermont, he is revered. This is the 225th anniversary of the British invasion of the Champlain Valley, and he's the man who stopped them and turned the tide and gave the country time to get on its feet. So that's the wrong thing to call him. It's usually means a traitor, though, and I don't see how becoming publicly independent when you've been independently minded politically for years is treason or even switching sides, because he did not go to the other side. He did not become a Democrat.
Right. He became an independent.
That's
now,
right.
He's been an independent thinker right along, and that's the way he's voted.
He has been, and he is in the tradition, the historical tradition of Vermont Republican senators. There hasn't been a rock-ribbed conservative Republican senator in the state since at least 1940, when George Aiken went to mm-hmm. to Washington, and that includes Robert Stafford and Prouty so it's all wrong to make it sound as if this is a great shift. What is a great shift historically? This is the first time in the history of the Republican Party that there hasn't been a Republican in the congressional delegation to Washington. That's what's really historic.
Mm.
The Republicans in this state don't have a voice.
9:18 on WVMT. We're talking with Will Randall this morning, biographer and historian and visiting professor of humanities at Champlain College. Senator Jeffords jumping ships yesterday and becoming an independent. Now, historically, Will, how will history treat this?
It's very important. It's one of those key votes, like the single vote the young Congressman Ross from Kansas, who was only elected one term, but he's the one who voted against impeaching Andrew Johnson when the rest of the country wanted to impeach him in the 1860s. It's the one man standing alone against the tide, and I think historians, as well as most Americans, are very fond of that kind of a stand, that kind of personal courage. It's not going to be easy for Jeffords in the Senate,
mm-hmm.
but there is a tradition. You know, there was a man named Wayne Morse for many, many years who was the lone voice, the former Republican who stood against the Republican Party as well as the Democrats for years. It gives Jeffords a bully pulpit that he wouldn't have otherwise, and overnight, he has leapt to international attention.
Yeah.
He was very obscure outside Vermont before this. Now he stands for aid to education. He stands for the environment. There's somebody people can point to and focus on and say he's the man.
We look at John McCain, and another one. One would expect John McCain to leave the Republican Party next. And then all of a sudden, Senator Jeffords, he's the one that's getting all the national recognition. Will history remember Senator Jeffords as the man, as the turning point for the Republican Party?
Well, very well. He could. If George W. Bush's advisors don't have an epiphany over this and really change their tactics, it could lead to more defections. There are about 9 other moderate Republicans who feel that the party has raced far to their right since Bush was inaugurated. If you have more defections, then it would cripple the presidency of Bush. Right now, just by this one this one change of one vote, we've not only seen a turnover in the chairmanships, but I think what you're going to see is gridlock between the two houses of Congress. We're going to be back to those battles that Clinton had with Gingrich to get budget resolutions through, to get any major legislation passed at all. So I think this is a big, important change, and it could influence others to do the same thing. Olympia Snow is sort of sitting on the fence. The New Englanders still function as New Englanders. They don't like the idea of being ignored, because the Republican Party really came from here. It's the old Federalist Party. You know, it's always been a ginner when it doesn't like the treatment it gets from the White House. So you could have a few more defections from this neck of the woods.
Yeah, you know, well, they all say, and you hear them talking now about Senator Jeffords, he should have known about this when he was campaigning, and he should have run as an independent at that time, and on and on and on. But I don't believe he really did.
It does come down to a matter of belief.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's take the man at his word. What the heck?
Mm-hmm.
And he says he really believed that Bush would carry out his campaign promises on education, etc. And I see this as a reaction to Bush turning 180 degrees on some of his pledges since he got into the Oval Office. And I think that Jeffords was sincere when he voted, and so were a lot of Republicans in the state in voting for Bush. And all of a sudden, the six-gun-toting contingent from Texas has run roughshod over the Senate, and he couldn't stand it anymore. He could see down the road and see there were going to be more showdowns like this when he would be isolated. He wouldn't have a vote. And the chairman of a Senate committee is used to an enormous amount of power. He's not used to flunkies halfway down the White House staff list deciding what functions he can go to, whether to be consulted on the budget. So Jeffords stands for the reputation of a strong and independent Senate.
Well, in your opinion, has the administration changed that much in 6 months? Have you seen it leaning that much further to the right?
Well, it depends on whether you believe that they leaned to the right before they got in there.
That's a key point, because if it has changed, then there is the reason for Jeffords for leaving the party. If it's the same as it was 6 months ago, then the argument would be, why not have changed 6 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think anybody in either party expected all of the appointments to be from the right wing of the Republican Party the way they have been.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody at least believed, after the long impasse over who would be the president, that there would be real bipartisanship, that the Republicans would want to work with the Democrats. People told themselves that's what they thought would happen. I don't think anybody expected that it would be sort of an uncompromising, to the right of center, list of appointments and legislation going very, very fast without consultation of the moderates, as if they didn't even exist. So my own belief is that they did a very good job of keeping under wraps what their agenda was, which is just shrewd election politics. But in this case, I think it's come around to bite them.
9:24 on WVMT. We're talking with Will Randall this morning, biographer and historian. We're talking about Senator Jim Jeffords leaving the Republican Party, becoming an independent yesterday. 655-0303, #62 or 1-888-414-0303. Good morning. You're next on WVMT with Will Randall.
Good morning, guys. Well, as an independent who did not vote for Jim Jeffords in the last election, I think I can see why the Republicans are upset at him. He could have become an independent and still aligned himself with the Republicans, therefore not totally disappointing his Vermont Republican Party. He says he can't deal with the Bush agenda. Maybe I'm crazy, but I don't see anything radically different in George Bush since the election. I mean, certainly his judiciary appointments, this first round of appointments, were not radical right-wingers.
Ashcroft wasn't.
He was not nominated to be a judge.
You're saying judicial appointments.
Yeah, I said judicial.
Yeah.
And certainly, I think he has a right to appoint one or two right-wingers. I mean, after all, he is a Republican and he is a conservative. And again, Jim Jeffords, the Republicans in Vermont made sure that Jim Jeffords had no primary challenge. That, to me, is the most important factor in this whole thing. They went along with Jeffords. Had Jim Douglas challenged him in the primary, we might not be talking about this today. Because Republicans were pretty well fed up with Jim Jeffords prior to this election, and especially after his remarks about rape being a private matter. I mean, you guys kind of, well, not you guys, but some people seem to forget that. You know, that turned off an awful lot of us. That's why I didn't vote for Jim Jeffords.
Let's let Will comment. Will?
Well, first of all, you're assuming that the moneyed Republicans would put their money on anybody to oppose Jeffords if they thought he was a shoo-in. And I think that was the feeling of a lot of Republicans who were going to be major contributors. And instead, they were going to give their money to the Dwyer campaign if they were going to contribute at all. I mean, you're talking about a limited number of checkbooks now, and not an awful lot of high rollers, and they favored Jeffords because they thought he supported Bush. It's true, but they were remembering the other Bush, George Bush Sr., and they were voting their memory of George Bush more than really examining closely, I think, the people who were around W. So I think there's a feeling of betrayal, not just against Jeffords, but a feeling of making a horrible mistake in judgment. Some of the big contributors to the Republican Party have been saying the last few days that we are with Jim Jeffords. We're not happy with the drift of the party either. So and we have to allow for the fact that the people on the scene, they're like generals on a battlefield. They have to be able to make decisions that might be different from their intentions, depending on, we don't know how much Jeffords saw before he got to the point of putting everything at risk. I mean, he saw a lot coming across his desk on standards of education, all sorts of things that on the missile shield. All of a sudden, we're not hearing anything on whether those missiles can work. We're just hearing we have to have them. You know, Jeffords, as a senator, knows about a lot of this stuff, so I'm not willing to second guess him, and I do think that we elect people for their ability to make decisions, and these decisions can change with circumstances.
Will, do you agree with us? We're talking with Will Randall, biographer and historian, this morning about Senator Jim Jeffords leaving the Republican Party, that a lot of this came down to, it sounds like playground antics, and do you agree that President Bush and Vice President Cheney should have worked this out between Senator Jeffords and themselves? It shouldn't have come to this. When they needed his vote for the tax cut, there should have been some compromise on education, so they got that vote, so this wouldn't be coming about now.
Well, I think that's the normal expectation, that you go to the chairman, especially if he's in your own party, which he is by definition, and consult him on the thing not only that he's an expert on, but that matters most to him. You don't go off and you have the Office of Management and Budget in the White House come up with a budget that not only ignores him, but is diametrically opposed to what he's been on the record for 25 years. I mean, this is the kind of tactics that, you know, that I think finally drove Jeffords to a very desperate decision. It should have been handled in the Oval Office. If it had been LBJ, dare I mention his name, he would have been on the phone personally to Jeffords at home trying to work it out. Instead, you know, this president is on a plane instead of on the phone, and I don't think that works.
You know, to me, the whole thing goes a lot deeper than you know, what we see on the surface here, Will. And I think that you don't want to go along with the tax cut plan? Well, to hell with your dairy compact.
That's right. And John McCain got that exactly right, I think, when he said that you can't talk about revenge and retaliation if these senators don't do exactly what you want every single vote. They're not puppets. I think McCain has that just right, and I think that's the kind of thing that drove Jeffords over the edge, not just what he saw coming, but the idea that if he opposed in any way this presidency, there would be reprisals. And there will be, by the way. Even though he's left the party, he's going to have a big target on his back if he runs for re-election from the out-of-state interests who have a hit list during election time.
655-0303. Good morning. You're next on WVMT with Will Randall.
Yes, good morning, Ernie and Charlie.
Good morning.
You know, I see this as seeing the whites of their eyes and turning tail and running. I mean, I think he could have stood a lot firmer for what he believed and tried to bring some moderation within the Republican Party. as I thought he would do. I'm an independent, and I voted for him because I thought he could bring some moderation to that. I think it's a conservative Bush theme, pretty much. But, you know, the reasons he gave it to Sheridan yesterday just don't cut it for me. They just don't justify it.
He was at the Radisson yesterday.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
I'm sorry, Radisson. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's a question, again, of belief. Do you believe what the man says? 2-1, the polls are showing that people believe that he spoke from the heart. And he did write that speech himself. You know, it depends on whether you believe what he said or not, or whether it's just more political rhetoric. And standing against the tide, well, there's been a long list in recent years of and Republicans who've, you know, Bill Bradley, Ben Nighthorse Campbell, you know, switching one way or the other mm-hmm. when they feel that they don't have a voice anymore in the Senate. And that's a shame because it's such an influential office. It is really a shame that there's this precedent out there. Now, I'm not holding it up as an answer to how to deal with problems. I think, you know, whites of the eyes, yeah, this is true. But which of us in the same situation wouldn't consider doing the same thing?
Well, interestingly enough, a poll out this morning, and I believe they polled about 412 people, and they actually show support for Senator Jeffords for jumping ship, but they also feel that he should resign and run again as an independent. Now, a question for you. Has that ever happened before? Has somebody ever resigned and had a special election?
Well, if somebody did, I'd want his head examined.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have to.
Yes.
I mean, it's a fond wish.
Mm-hmm.
If he resigned, by the way, then you would have a Democrat instead of an independent because the vacancy would be filled by the governor, and there never would be an election. So it's, you know, that's a fiction.
So it wouldn't happen anyway.
No, it wouldn't happen. If you have a resignation or a death from the office, then it's automatically an appointment of the governor, and you'd still have a Democratic majority in the Senate.
As we talk about in history, other Republicans that have jumped over to the Democratic Party and Democrats that have jumped over to the Republican Party, a name that comes out for jumping ship many years ago, and also just because of his age, is Senator Strom Thurmond. Now, how does Strom Thurmond fit into all of this?
Well, Strom Thurmond, I think, invented ship jumping in 1948 when he led a delegation of Democrats out of the National Convention to oppose Truman, and he formed the Dixiecrats, and he's the man that led the South out of the Democratic Party and into the Republican camp, and that was over segregation. Everybody was holding his or her breath and expecting Strom Thurmond to resign or die, but, you know, he's 97, and he has five more years on his term, and 97, and he's, you know, outlived a lot of other people, mm. so he's out as a chairman, but he's still enormously popular in the South. He's the patriarch. It's a mistake to wait for somebody to die like that.
What would happen if Strom Thurmond died today?
What would happen if Strom Thurmond died today is the Democratic governor of South Carolina would appoint a Democratic senator, and there'd be one more Democrat in the Senate.
Okay. Now, you know, you mentioned Olympia Snow, and I've been reading about Olympia. They're good friends. I mean, Jim Jeffords and Olympia, and they vote pretty much the same. But as you look down the line of Republicans now, we've talked a little bit about this, but do you see other Republicans jumping the ship?
I'm not a prognosticator. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm an historian. I'm a former journalist. I'm very good at looking over my shoulder and can't see what's coming 2 inches down the road. You know, this is a guy who in 1972 looked at the votes in the state he covered for Time magazine and based on those said McGovern was going to win by a landslide. So I gave that up then. I gave that up back then. I don't know. I would be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's going to be more deal-making, more willingness to negotiate, to hold on to those votes, because it's going to get harder and harder for Bush to get his agenda through the Congress if he keeps losing this way. So I don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
But it could happen. It could happen. It could happen if this signal doesn't register loud and clear with the advisors in the White House who brushed Jeffords aside on national National Teacher of the Year invitation, on patients' rights, on education for special education. I mean, it could happen. If they don't learn their lesson on this one, what's without precedent in history is, well, with one exception, Watergate, that you do have staff people having such enormous decision-making power over the Senate Majority Leader and these powerful chairmen.
655-0303, right back to the phone lines with Will Randall on WVMT. Good morning. You're next.
Hello. In answer to the question I think Ernie raised a couple of moments ago, one time Phil Graham switched parties. He resigned and ran for re-election as a Republican.
That's right. I think you've got a number of staunch Bush Republicans now who are former Democrats, yes.
Right. And he is one who resigned his office when he changed and ran for re-election in a special election.
Well,
give the voters an opportunity to decide whether they wanted to vote for him as a Republican.
Yes, but was the governor of the state of the same party?
I don't know.
Well, I don't think so, and I think that's the difference. It's, mm-hmm. The risk is that there will be an appointment from the other side, as Howard Dean would surely do here.
Well,
and Howard Dean, in fact, could turn around and appoint Jim Jeffords.
If you're standing for convictions, you take risk.
Well, of course.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call this morning, 9:37 a.m. 620 WVMT News Time. Will Randall, our friend, biographer, and historian from Champlain College.
So, Will, you know, they talk about these special elections. So immediately, if Jim Jeffords resigned his position, the governor would step in at that point and appoint somebody, a Democrat, right?
That's right.
So, you know, I don't understand why they're calling for him to resign and hold a special election, which
is
ridiculous.
They can't think of anything else to do to object.
I see. Okay.
I mean, there are a whole lot of people who do feel betrayed by this. They're not a majority. They're not a majority in Vermont or anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. I mean, you got, if not more, Flatlanders voting in the state now than the native-born Vermonters. It's darn close. And they don't feel the pain so much of not having a Republican. But a lot of the born Republicans here feel something much deeper than a personal betrayal. It's the death of something that was in the bone. They were always identified with Vermont soil, conservatism, etc. But the reality is that at least since the Depression, at least since the 1930s, the senators from Vermont have been more Democrat in their voting records than they have been Republican. They're fiscal Republicans, conservative about money, but on a whole raft of social issues, education, the environment, etc., they couldn't be more Democratic.
9:38 on WVMT. We have local news coming up in just a moment with Ernie Farrar. Will Randall from Champlain College, biographer and historian and local professor of humanities at Champlain College. Will, thanks for joining us this morning. As always, very, very...
Very interesting.
Very interesting, and you've got all your facts in line. We always appreciate that. What's your latest book? What are you working on?
I'm doing a biography of Alexander Hamilton,
mm-hmm.
who was the first Republican, by the way. Just to further confuse
things. Okay. So, Will, if somebody calls me Benedict Arnold, I should... be proud.
I'd be proud to a point, and that's West Point.
Always a pleasure, Will.
Thanks, Will.
Thank you very
much. Thanks for joining us this morning. 9:39 a.m. 620 WVMT.
Oh, he's got his facts, huh?
Very informed, very smart guy. I always enjoy talking with Will. Former reporter for Time Magazine.
Yeah,
got to start for Time Magazine. 9:39 on WVMT. We will continue our program this morning with more talk about Senator Jeffords, and we've also got the good news, bad news of the week coming up.
Ooh.
First, we take a break because we have to check weather with WVMT AccuWeather meteorologist Rich Heller. We have to get news from Ernie Farrar, and we have to check sports with Turk Stevens. It's all straight ahead. Keep it right here, WVMT.